Welcome to Reflections on Life. Hi, I'm Liz Bobo, and I enjoy doing this monthly recording with the Community College. One of the things I keep in mind in the writings that I do now that I'm no longer in public office is that absolutely everything is connected throughout the universe and throughout our nation and our state and our community. Everything is connected. So I will go through the six categories that I cover each month in my written reflections and here in synopsized version at the Community College Dragon radio station. And they are home in Columbia, Zachary, my grandson, Baltimore, my hometown, public policy at the local, state, and national level, our planet beyond the U.S., and our universe. Home in Columbia. Spring is an absolutely full bloom, literally full bloom. The cherry blossoms in around the county and in our yard are blooming and beautiful. The birds are making their nests all over the place, and we can hear them singing in the morning when we wake up. The big maple tree that I write about, that's right behind the window at the head of our bed, we can no longer see through it now. It's just a solid green wall, and we can't watch the planes flying overhead like we usually do. Our bird feeders are being emptied on almost an hourly basis. So all of that is so happy and so joyful. And then in the natural world by our home, the goslings who were born this year to their parents in the ponds beyond our home lived on this earth for only 4 days, and the snapping turtles got all of them. So it's a reminder of how precious and how brief life can be. Zachary, my grandson, Zachary had his 25th birthday last week, and it was a remarkable celebration. Thousands and thousands of emails and texts came in to his parents. We still hear from people literally all over the world who are inspired by how he lived his life and how he took care of other people. Well, he knew he was dying of brain cancer. He would go to Hopkins Hospital, visit the Children's Cancer Ward, and walk up and down wearing a Superman cape. And the kids would get so excited. When is that coming? When is that coming? So his spirit is still very, very much alive. And I am still so grateful that he is, not was, but is my first grandchild. Baltimore, my hometown. There is some coverage in the paper this week about the Catonsville Nine. There are probably a lot of people who don't remember that. Probably most of the students here at the college don't remember the Catonsville Nine. But it was a group of mainly religious leaders who opposed very, very strongly the Vietnam War at its inception, and they were imprisoned because of it. And now they are much more recognized as heroes. And in the community very near where I grew up, there was a plaque put up in Catonsville, which is actually across the line in Baltimore out of Howard County, honoring these people as national heroes. Public policy. I'm going to pick the local level this time. It's actually a combination of state and local, but our governor this week signed a bill for free community college tuition. And that's not across the board for anyone who wants to come. There's an income test that goes with it, but it will be certainly applying to this college. I say so often that I find the Howard Community College to be one of the most exciting and good organizations, I'm going to call it, here in our county. It has so much enriched our cultural life, our understanding of what's going on in the world, the sciences, and it will certainly affect this college, that bill that was signed. And when I go into the parking lot and try to find a space, I wonder how is the college possibly going to accommodate more people, but I'm sure they'll figure out how to do it. Reflections on our planet beyond the U.S. The European countries, in my opinion, particularly France and Germany, continue to take the lead in speaking out about some of the unjust and dangerous practices going on our planet and how different nations deal with each other and putting us at risk of some serious wars. So my gratitude again to Germany and France, and I look forward to the time when, and this is my opinion, of course, when our country catches up and plays as responsible a role on the planet as they are now playing. And then reflections on the universe. Last month, I wrote and talked about Stephen Hawking, the amazing astronomer and scientist in so many areas, who had a very debilitating physical disease and yet was one of the most accomplished people in studying the universe of anywhere in the history of the planet. So last month he died, and this month, and I just get such a kick out of this because he clearly planned it, he published his last book. And so he held this book out to be published after he had died. And it is about how a multiverse might work. He's introducing new words into the whole science of the universe, and not a universe, uni being one, but that it's very possible that we live in multiverses rather than universes. So hats off to this man who was a genius and at the same time gave us such an example of how to live a full life while having very serious physical disabilities. So now on to today's program. I'm really excited about this one. I have James Lehmann here with me in the studio. I first got to know Mr. Lehmann when he was principal at Wild Lake High School. I had a granddaughter going to Wild Lake High School, and this is something that I frequently volunteer, and you had nothing to do with it, Mr. Lehmann, in getting me to say this, but I've had grandchildren go to two schools in high schools in Howard County, Wild Lake and Centennial. And the two kids who went to Centennial, Zach was one of them. Zach went to Centennial. They got an excellent education there. But I wouldn't trade for Wild Lake for anything in the world because of the richness of the diversity of that school that simply doesn't exist at Centennial. And I think living in that kind of diverse environment is a whole other education that can't be given. And there's no one who can represent that great aspect of Wild Lake High School more than Mr. Lehmann, the former principal. So you get sent me some material. So people have told me you need to get to know this guy better. You know, there's much more to him than being the principal of Wild Lake High School. And I'd make a note, you know, okay, I'll do that, and never got around to it. But then when the new superintendent, who, by the way, was interviewed on this program a couple months ago, when he came in, and correct me if I get any of this incorrect, please. When he came in as superintendent, he shuffled around some of the organization, and he created some new positions. And Mr. Lehmann's position is one of them. So now tell me just what it is again. What is the title and what does it consist of? What are your responsibilities?
The title of my position is Executive Director of Community Parent School Outreach. So a lot of what I do is I work a lot with our community organizations, our nonprofit, our health department, local children's board, and we're trying to create a strong relationship and make sure we're supporting our families and our schools better. And also I work a lot with the parents, the PTAs, different groups like that, and I'm in the schools a lot, but also I'm in the schools supporting the schools, the principals with Student Voice, etc. And another thing I do also, I represent Dr. Moderano at different events when he's unable to go, so I'll make sure I'm present and on his behalf. And also, if there's any parent concerns regarding bullying in the county that are elevated to central office level, I'll respond to those types of concerns as well with families and some other things that I do as well.
After I took the suggestions of some people, and I wanted to do it on my own, but the suggestions made me move on it a little faster and invited you to come here on this program with me, you sent me some background information about your life and of some writing you had done about your life. So having read that, it seems to me that it's more than safe to say that your background put you in an even better position to be able to understand the high school kids, understand what they're dealing with, understanding that every one of them is different. Some of them come from, well, from downright wealthy families, and others from middle class, and others who are struggling to make ends meet. And there's also in the Columbia is not, or and Howard County, including Columbia, is not exempt from racial and ethnic diversity issues. Yeah. There are, it's not exempt from hostility and sometimes aggression among its students. So how did your past life help you in what you're doing now?
Yeah, so talk a little bit about my background. I'm actually from Washington, Pennsylvania, which is southwest of Pittsburgh. I'm the youngest of six kids. I had five older sisters. And
all sisters.
I had five
older
sisters.
Wow, I didn't know that. You really did get training.
Oh, yeah. And my oldest sister was only 10 years older than me, so we were very close together. So I was youngest of six and had great parents. We grew up in a project called Jolic Manor up until I got to high school. But I say that for a reason, but when I was younger, I grew up in the projects, and I didn't do very well, I would say, in middle school. I probably was an average or low average student. It wasn't because I couldn't do it. I just wasn't given the effort. But when I got to high school, we had moved out of the project. We got a voucher to get a house, and shortly after, my father had lost his job at a steel mill, and so he had to learn how to drive a truck. My mom had to become a live-in, where she lived with someone from Sunday night until Sunday morning. She was home all day Sunday, so it was me and my sister was home most of the time. So there was, you know, as much as she wanted the best for me, they weren't able to be there because they were obviously had to work. So I went to school in 9th grade, 10th grade year, and I always played athletics. I was always my motivator to go to school was athletics. It was not the academic piece. My first couple years didn't do very well academically, but my junior year, I got called into the office by my coach, my football coach, and there was two gentlemen sitting there, and I didn't know who they were. I think one was a coach from Ohio State, one was from Tennessee, and they're like, if you had your grades, we would offer you a scholarship. I'm in 11th grade. And what that did, it made me realize the opportunity that I could possibly have if I would put more effort into my academics. And my high school coach, who is still my mentor, you know, he really tried to encourage me just to get more effort in my academic focus. So after my 11th grade year, my 12th grade year, my grades went up a little bit more. But ultimately, when I graduated from high school, I still didn't have a 2.0 to be eligible to receive any scholarship at Division I schools. And I say that for this reason, because I was never ineligible throughout my high school career. I graduated with a 1.4.
Wow.
But the whole time, I was never ineligible, right? So I'm sitting here thinking about that, talking about lowering the bar for someone, right? Yeah. I think if it would have been a 2.0, I would have had a 2.0 because I wouldn't have played sports so bad. So when I graduated, I was going to work in a steel mill. And I did for 8 days. I worked in a place called Exmark Industries for 8 days.
8 days.
8 days. Yeah. Not,
you know, Baltimore had a big steel mill too. You know that, I guess.
I
know a little bit about working in steel mills, although no one in my family did. But at any rate, excuse me.
Yeah, so I worked there for 8 days, and I quickly realized that this was not what I want to do for the next 20-something years, like my father had done before he had lost his job. So I called my high school coach, and he ended up calling Tennessee, and they wanted me to go to a junior college in Kansas, Texas, or California. And I never forget, it was on my birthday. The next day, they flew me out to Kansas on my birthday, June 16th. Went out there. People were really nice. Came home. I didn't go to California or Texas. I said, I'm going to go to the school in Kansas. So over the summer, when it was time for me to go to school, I didn't have enough money to catch the bus from Pittsburgh to Kansas. So luckily, somebody was going to Cincinnati, and they dropped me off at the bus station. And I had like $20 in my duffel bag. It was like a 36-hour ride. I cried the whole way. I was so angry. You know what I mean? I was just like, how in the world am I on a bus to Kansas, right? And I got out there, and it's funny because I think the people out there, they thought something was wrong with me because I wasn't talking to them, but I was just really angry. And so first couple of weeks, they hung
in. Let me just stop you for a minute, because I didn't, the anger, you didn't have the money to study otherwise, so you're going to, and the anger was just that you had to leave home and go through that in order to pursue what you wanted to pursue?
I just couldn't believe that I found myself in that situation.
Okay.
That
right.
I did not work harder.
Okay, you were angry at yourself?
I was angry at myself. I couldn't blame nobody else.
Okay.
I was just angry that, you know, because my high school team, we had some very good athletes. We were state champions in basketball. I was a co-captain of the team, and we had like six other athletes on my team that were Division I athletes. One was a high school player of the year in the whole country, so we had a really good team. And a lot of them were at Penn State or Genentech. A couple of my teammates went to Genentech. But again, I found myself on the way to Kansas and on a bus. And so when I got out there, I wouldn't talk to people, you know. But I quickly realized that it was about me. You know, I was out there because of what I did and did not do. And I realized it was a great opportunity for me to try to change what was happening with me at that point. So another thing I didn't realize is when we got out there was like 40 kids from all over the country, and they only keep 10 guys on the team that are from out of state. I didn't know that.
So only 10. Wow.
Only 10. The rest of the team have to be in state from Kansas. I didn't realize that. So if you don't make the team as a starter, basically, you're going to go back. Either go back home or just go to school.
Take that 36-hour bus ride again.
Exactly.
In the other direction.
Luckily, I made the team and did fairly well there. I made all conference. But my point is, I had time in Kansas. I was in Dodge City, Kansas, and there's not much to do out there. But it really gave me a chance to reflect on how I'd find myself there. So for the next year or two, I really was able to focus academically and just really give the time that I really need. I always could do it. I just never.
Did you think you could do it at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did. You always knew you could do it.
It was just my lack of focus and motivation.
Okay.
And like I said, my parents, my dad was driving the truck all over the country, and my mom was a live-in, so she wasn't home. I had to go see her until Sunday. So a lot of it, it was just circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, my parents were awesome. But so I'm out there in my second year. I'll never forget. I got hurt. We were playing Colorado Springs, the Air Force Academy. I hurt my knee, and I missed like about four games. And really, when you get hurt, scouts are trying to recruit you and stuff, so I didn't really have a really good season. But luckily, they had my tape from the year before. But when I got hurt, it made me realize that, I can get hurt anytime, right? And I could be done playing football. But if I get my grades right, I can always have that with me. So that really taught me a lot after that. And I graduated from there, and I ended up getting a full scholarship to go to a school called West Virginia University. And on a football scholarship, I played for them a couple years. My last year there, we were fortunate enough. We were undefeated. We played in Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame that year for the national title. We lost the game, but, just being able to play in the game and be a part of that was a huge experience for me. But it wasn't my most important thing. At that point, I was really, it wasn't trying to go to the NFL. I was really trying to focus on make sure I graduated. I did graduate, undergraduate degree in physical education and teaching. And afterwards, my first job out of school was a juvenile probation officer in my hometown. And the judge who interviewed me, I'll never forget it, his name was Judge Thomas J. Terputic. And he said he had always followed my career from high school. And when I interviewed, I really appreciate him giving me a chance to be a probation officer. So I did that for a couple of years, and then after that I worked in a child psychiatric hospital in Pittsburgh for like about another 2 years. And then I decided to go back to West Virginia and get the first of two master's degrees that I got. I got one in phys ed teaching. I got my second one from the School of Medicine and Community Health Promotion. It's now School of Public Health. And so I did that. And after that, I worked in Pittsburgh on crisis, in-home crisis intervention program in the city of Pittsburgh for a year. My wife finished law school, and we were looking to move.
Your wife finished law school?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She finished law school. And so we were looking to move, we were looking in like Virginia, Fairfax area, or Loudoun County, or Howard County. My sister lived in Odin, and she said, definitely got to move to Howard County. So we moved here, and I want to say the fall or summer of 94, and that was the best decision we ever made in our life for our family and for my kids. It was just the best decision. So we moved here, and I worked at the University of Maryland Department of Psychiatry in Baltimore for about 5 years. I was on the Child Mobile Psychiatric Crisis Team, where we work with kids who, I'll say they were the most, their behaviors were the most challenging behaviors that you would see in Baltimore City, if you can imagine,
mm-hmm.
the kids and the family. So our goal, we worked as a team of psychiatrists and myself, or other social worker and myself, and we really try to stabilize that child, but really the whole family. And I learned more about just poverty and also the mental health psychiatry part, but poverty in that 5 years in Baltimore City, then it was a very humbling experience for me. And it makes you have a different lens when you come home every day and you see your kids and you see some of the challenges of kids that it's no fault of their own that they have. It makes you think differently about a lot of things, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. I hug my mm-hmm. kids every day. Mm-hmm. So I did that for 5 years, and after that, I worked for Child Protective Services briefly in Howard County and Montgomery County, and I thought I had an idea. Dr. Cummings was in charge of alternative ed for Howard County, and he recruited me to become an alternative ed teacher. So I came as an alt ed teacher and worked at, my first school was at Mount Hebron High School. I was there for four years as an alt ed teacher. And loved the school as a coach, a hit track coach there, and just a great school. The next year, I was very fortunate to be promoted assistant principal. And ironically, our new superintendent, Dr. Moderano, was the one who promoted me from a teacher to assistant principal back, I'll say, 14 years ago.
Really? Before
yeah.
he left?
Yeah, before he left.
To another something? State himself, yeah.
Yep, I was actually interviewing to be a PPW, a pupil personnel worker, and I was coming out of my second interview, and I happened to run into him and someone else, and they asked what I was doing. I said, I interviewed for PPW, and a few days later, I ended up getting promoted to Tapscale Middle School, which was really, really, I was very fortunate to have that chance to do that. I was there for a year as an AP, and then they moved me to Merritt Ridge before it opened as assistant principal. Pat Saunderson was the principal, and I was very fortunate to be there for 5 awesome years to help build that whole new school community, like 7 different schools coming together. It was a great, great experience. And then after my 5th year, I was transferred to Hammond High School, and Marcy Leonard was transferred from Atherton to Hammond as well as the principal. And so I was lucky enough to be at Hammond mm-hmm. for a year, had a great year at Hammond High School.
Well, I had no idea just how much you had been around in the school system. I wasn't aware of the length of time or the number of assignments. Mm-hmm. But the Wild Lake appears to me, from my vantage point, to have that no school would have a broader spectrum of income levels, socioeconomic levels, than Wild Lake High yep. School has. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a real positive.
Absolutely.
And that's how I felt about my granddaughter, because she's getting exposed, you know, to the whole world. So how do you use your experiences as principal, for example? How does that help you with what you're doing now?
Yeah, and Wild Lake is, it's an awesome school, and I think the diversity in that building, whether it's socioeconomically or culturally, is the strength of that building and that school, and it always has been. Mm-hmm. I always say the kids make it work, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I was really blessed and humbled to have a chance to be there. But the way I try to use my experiences is, you know, just have a different lens when you see kids that are maybe have some different struggles or challenges, or whether it's the whole family, mm-hmm. just trying to be a different resource to them, but also lead by example with your staff in the building. Lead with empathy, right, and compassion for our kids. And I always tell them, we get a lot of kids at Wild Lake from all over not just the country, all over the world. We have over, I think, 70 different cultures in that building. And they're coming to us at different places. We need mm-hmm. to be aware of that and meet them where they are, if that yeah. makes sense. And I would constantly remind our staff that, you know, we have to meet our kids individually where they are to meet the needs of them, give them a fair chance to be successful.
Mm-hmm. How do you see us doing as a school system and county from the perspective of helping kids from lower income families? I could pick different racial families, but I'm going to pick lower income families.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Assimilate into the community and not stand out. You know, there are so many people who think that Howard County is all upper middle class and wealthy people. And mm-hmm. of course, that is absolutely not the case. So how do you think we're doing in helping the kids in our schools who are from lower income families mm-hmm. assimilate into the community and
absolutely.
Learn? Well, yeah.
One thing I will say is all about access. I mean, we want to try to remove barriers for students, not just students, but their whole family, whether it's food access, whether it's access to more rigorous classes. If kids can't pay for AP tests, I mean, giving principals some leeway in regards to supporting kids in all kind of ways. But I think part of my role is new this year, is really trying to make the connections with other resources to support not just the school, but the whole individual families as well. And a big part of it, just an example, is is working with the local children's board and I guess Island Kilimanjaro's Achieve 24/7 initiative, which really focuses on Oakland Mills High School area and the feeder schools initially. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we are doing is trying to try some different things and see how they work in that area so we can hopefully move, you know, what's been successful mm-hmm. and try it in other areas as well. Perfect example, working with the multi-service center out of Laurel, they've actually now been allowing case managers to meet with families in Oakland Mills Middle, Lake Elkhorn, and now we've expanded to Harper's Choice. Mm-hmm. And just in a short period of time, I want to say from September to February, those case managers have seen 180 plus families.
Oh, that's
and they're only there like for 4 hours a month in a couple of schools. So we're trying to just think outside the box about how we can remove barriers for families and kids that need the most.
And my final question, in just a few words, as you can, what do you see as Howard County school system's greatest strength and our greatest area where we can make improvement?
The greatest strength, I mean, there's several of them, but I will say I think our diversity, but also our focus on high quality education for everyone, I think is really our strength. The area we can improve on more, again, I think is just trying, as you said, Dr. Materano, who went to all the graduation last year, he talked about that 7% of kids that didn't graduate. 93% of our kids graduate, which is a very high number. Highest in the state of Maryland, but it's that 7%. How do we make sure that we can meet the needs of those students and so we can get to 100% of our kids? So I think making sure we're removing barriers, but we know those kids that may need some extra supports in their family. We know who they are, and we know, and we have a system in place to better support them all, mm-hmm. to have a chance to be successful. And I always say, it's all about, to me, about earlier intervention. The earlier we have an idea of who the students are that might need the support, and the better we can get those supports to them, mm-hmm. and not just in school, working better with our community partners, because I always say, kids don't live at school, they live at home.
Yeah.
Right. So we need to think about that as well. How to also work with our nonprofit, our community partners, so they can provide the appropriate support to these families and students, not just in school, but the whole wraparound service where they can meet them at home, too.
Well, we're fortunate to have you here. Truly, we are. And I learned a lot more about you today. Something that I believe very strongly is that it's not just the parents of with kids in school who need to care about the school system.
Yeah.
It's the entire community needs to pay attention to the school system.
Absolutely.
Because it is that the kids are our future for all of us. And I've enjoyed getting to know you better and grateful that you're here in the position you're in. Well, look forward to seeing more of you around town.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been an honor. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. That's the end of today's Reflections on Life. Be well, live life, and we'll be talking with you again next month.